Good morning, church family. Welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. For those of you just tuning in, my name is Jeff Glenn. I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and so it's my privilege to take you through the Word each week. If you are just joining us, you know, maybe someone shared this podcast with you, and this is your first time, I want to welcome you also. And if you are blessed by it, go ahead and like it, and then share it so that others can be blessed as well, so that we can all be encouraged by the Word. So today we're going to continue through John's first letter. And to this point, we've come to see that John is expressing to us his heart and his knowledge of the Lord, right? That God is light and that Jesus is the way. Most recently, we observed that we have an advocate with Jesus. So we know that when our enemy, the devil, he's accusing us, and when he is accusing us, we know and we have confidence that Jesus is acting as our advocate, meaning that he's essentially our defense attorney. And because he's previously acted, as John describes it here, he's previously acted as our propitiation for our sins. And so propitiation is just a big word that means atoning sacrifice that satisfies God's wrath. And so Paul told the Romans in his chapter 2:5 that because of our stubborn and unrepentant hearts, men store up wrath against themselves, and that wrath will be revealed on the day of judgment. So sometimes we don't necessarily think of God's wrath, but it's part of God's character and nature against sin. And so knowing that we have an accuser in Satan who's accusing us to God for our sin, and that sin will be reckoned with by God, right, through his pouring out of his wrath, previously, which he's done on Jesus or on us if we're unrepentant and unbelieving. But for the believer who has that wrath poured out on Jesus rather than ourselves, even though Satan may accuse us to the Father for sin, we have Jesus who stands in the gap as our mediator, essentially as a defense attorney who's best defense for us is himself saying, no, I've taken the punishment that sin deserved. And so it's a great encouragement and a great insurance, right, of our place in God's family. So if we know all of this and kind of get our head around this, what Paul is telling us, you know, Jesus is the way and God is the light, and reminding us of things that we should already know, but somehow we need to be constantly reminded of them, right? And so, essentially, John is encouraging us to abide in God. And this word abide really just means to remain in, connected with. And so, knowing that we abide in him, like if we ask ourselves, well, are we abiding in him? Or what does abiding in God look like? Or what can we do to figure that out, right? So it's really simple as examining our lives, right? So do we walk as Jesus walked or is walking, right? So it's kind of like who's in front of you, like a game of follow the leader, right? Who are you following? Who's in front of you that you are following? And it's a very simple test, right? Are we walking in the way of the world and doing the things that the world wants us to do and behave and achieve? Or are we following Jesus to this higher calling of abiding in him based on his work, not only on the cross, but currently and actively as our advocate with the Father when we sin, right? And so 2 Corinthians, again, Paul and John, right? So we see that in Paul's letter, in some of his letters, we see that there was a period where he was not ministering alongside of or directly with the other apostles. And he never really was in direct ministry with the other apostles. He had his ministry to the Gentiles for years and years before he came to John, and they examined him to see if his gospel was the same, and it was. And so they had the same gospel, and they have the same message. And so Paul puts John's thoughts in a separate inspiration, right? So it's not like he's reflecting John, but he's reflecting what the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write, just as John is. And so the fact that the two match up should be of no surprise. It isn't like they compared notes, but it's the Holy Spirit who is inspiring them to come to the same kind of conclusion. So Paul put it this way in his letter to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are of the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" And so what a compelling question, right? I mean, in another place he says, it's just like going and looking in a mirror and then turning away from the mirror and forgetting what you looked like, right? So he says here, do you not know yourselves? Don't you know who you are, that Jesus Christ is in you? And so that's what John is driving at here as well in his encouragement for us to abide in Christ in these passages here. And so we'll get to our scripture today, right? So 1 John 2:7-17, and he says, "Brethren, I write to you no new commandment, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So there's a couple things that I found really interesting here, right? It's John's contrast between the world and the kingdom, right? So between those who believe in God and are looking to the kingdom, and then those who are in the world. And the contrast is pretty stark, right? So his reminder is the command of our Lord Jesus to love one another. And it's still relevant today as it was in John's day, as it was in the years previous when Jesus reminded his disciples that by their love they should know one another, right? That they should love one another. And so it's not only relevant, but it's binding, right? And in the literal sense, it's what holds believers together, right? So we should hold to it in that sense. It's binding. But in the other sense, it's binding in that it holds us together. So if we claim that Jesus is our Lord, but yet we harbor hate for a fellow believer, John is offering a rebuke that, nope, you're still in the darkness. You're not in the light. And his remedy is to come out of the dark and into the light. So be obedient to Jesus. He is your Lord, right? So as your Lord, are you following him where he's asking you to follow him to, which is his place of unity with your fellow believer, and then to forgiveness and reconciliation. So are you following Jesus to that place, to love your brother? So this is a contrast with the world, right? Loving the world over Jesus also reveals your commitment to him or lack of commitment, right? So in the world, they would say things like, you need to assert your dominance and you need to get even and you need to show the other person who's boss, cut off relationship when you've had someone offend you. But not so in the kingdom, right? In the kingdom, we should seek unity and fight for unity. We should forgive and seek forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's what Jesus gave to us, and it's how he asks us to walk, right? And so we know that our world today is fast changing, so fast that we, you know, hardly can believe what's happening. But, you know, everything from what our society expects and allows, you know, kind of changing day to day and, you know, increasing in all sorts of evil things. You know, we could point to all of that and say, man, you know, the darkness is encroaching on our world and things are getting, you know, dark and evil. But this is the other thing that I found really notable. John says in verse 8 that the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And then in verse 17, he says that the world is passing away. So for us, that's super instructive from a perspective level, right? To get our eyes fixed on Jesus rather than the world, because it's not the light and the kingdom that's at risk, right? So we know that from Matthew 16 that Jesus is building the church and the gates of hell won't prevail. And so it's the gates of hell that are under assault, that should be under assault, and most notably by the church, right? So I think that's a perspective that we can sometimes lose when we take our eyes off of the kingdom and our eyes off of Jesus and get them on the world. Because yes, there's terrible darkness in the world and terrible evil. But really what we're learning here is it's the light that's come into the world that's exposed all of that. It's always been there, but you know, Jesus as the light has come in and he's exposed it by his pure love and his call for us to love. So certainly the world lies under the sway of the evil one, right? The, you know, Satan has and his minions have control of the world, right? So it can seem like things are getting darker and darker, but in reality, because of Jesus and his work on the cross, the light has penetrated into the darkness, right? Which means that it has illuminated, right, the evil that is all around us. And as the light penetrates the darkness, it's also causing it, you know, the darkness to recede until that final day when Jesus returns and the darkness and evil will be dealt with once and for all, right? And that's when God's wrath will be satisfied on the unbelieving world and on Satan and his powers and principalities. So as followers of Christ, we need to live with that reality, right? That perspective that it is the darkness, it is the world that is passing away. And because the true light has come, that is what is increasing. And that's what we should ever be looking for until his coming, right? So we need to be staying connected. John calls it abiding in Christ and abiding in his word so that as the evil in our world is further exposed, and it will be further exposed, and there'll be things that come to the light, right, as the light exposes them. So that way we have a correct perspective, you know, that the light, you know, the light, Jesus Christ, has already defeated the darkness. And for the believers, our place in the eternal kingdom is certain, and that what we see going on around us is of no surprise because, like I said, the light is exposing the evil. And so let us be motivated by that to abide in Christ as we await for his return. So I hope that's encouraging for you today. Go out and be blessed.